This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, so very happy to be with you today. We are so delighting in the fact that the Lord brings us together Monday through Friday at this same time as we discuss issues of importance to your life and to your faith. We always invite you to give us a call here. 833-288-EWTN is the way you do that. That's 833-288-3986. We've got Ryan Penny screening the calls today, so when you call 833-288-EWTN. Be sure to say hello to Ryan Penny. Also want to remind you that we're available to you out there in social media land. Our producer, Jeff Burson, is also our social media manager. He'll go out there and grab your questions or your comments or your insights or your inspirations, and he'll get them up on the board. We love to know what's going on in your world today. We know what's going on in the world in general, but you know, this is where we take the micro or the macro and boil it down to the micro. We want to know what's going on in your world today. And we're going to be talking about all kinds of issues that I think are going to resonate well with you today. As you can see, if you're out there in social media land, I've got my husband, Jack Williams, with me today. Why? Because it's Monthly Marriage Monday. And that's the day that we come together, first Monday of every month, and we talk about issues that are important in married life. And today we're going to be taking a look at crisis, marriage maker or marriage breaker. And, you know, as we continue to make our way through this very, very real moment that we're experiencing together as the mystical body of Christ, we take note of the fact that in these moments, we can achieve great good. God is always looking to work a good out of these circumstances and situations, the trials of our life, whether they greet us individually or corporately as the body of Christ. But the fact of the matter is we have to meet that with certain virtues that will help us make our way through. And tensions rise and the human condition becomes irritated. And, you know, those little weeny faults that we have, those small little things that we can make accommodations for when we're not under stress, often rise to the forefront. And the little irritations and aggravations that we oftentimes excuse in others just on a daily basis, we can make room for them, become really exacerbated. And they become the focus of our attention rather than the question, well, what would God have me be saying about myself in this moment? And how does he want me to embrace his grace and move forward? So Jack and I are going to be talking about some of those things and some of the situations that we've faced in this time, which I don't think are probably very much far from what you've experienced as well. So I want to welcome him. We're socially distancing, as you can see. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. So what would you say to all of our listeners, Jack, as I've been rattling on here, but let me give them the number again, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, you know, these are times, you know, I think that really some people, even though the children may be around, they're going to be facing certain things that empty nesters face to a certain extent, because the dynamic of the relationship is changing. And I think the first thing and the key thing to keep in mind is that you have to acknowledge the fact that the relationship and the situation that you find yourself in is changing. You've got to acknowledge that fact right up front and don't deny that that's the case. And then the other part of that is to realize that the fact that this relationship has changed is through no fault of either party. You know, we tend to, you know, I think it's just part of the human condition, especially here in the United States of America, where we're so prosperous and we have, by and large, such a comfortable lifestyle. I know, though, there are those of us that struggle more than others for various reasons. But we often have this internal need to assign blame in situations. And, boy, if we could walk through that, if we could get past that, it would solve a lot of problems for a lot of us.
Yeah, and I think that sometimes, you know, in stressful situations, and I think that we can all be prone to this from time to time, you know, we because the tension is so great, we become riveted on one thing that we see that's out of place or one thing that we see that really makes us uncomfortable or is irritating to us, and we hone in on that, and the full weight of our tension, the full weight of our emotional instability at that time, if you will, the uncertainty of what we're living through right now becomes focused and riveted on that one thing that drives us to absolute distraction. And so we have to be very careful of that. And this is where the great gift of self-knowledge comes in, to know, you know, where are these pressure points in my life where if, it, you know, I call them San Andreas faults, you know, if there's too much stress put on this fault line, you know, it's an entire earthquake is going to occur. You know, there's going to be an eruption and it's going to be in me and it's going to come out of me and it's going to affect everybody around me. We have to know what those things are.
You know, I think what you truer words were never spoken. And I thought it was really interesting that you talked about the macro and the micro in the beginning, because what you just described, that one thing, is certainly the micro, but the macro of this whole thing, and this is something that this is one of the things that was very clear to me very early on, thanks be to God, after Susie passed away, was that every complaint or every woe that I was feeling or expressing, every single one of them could, you know, had zero concern for the plight that Susie found herself in or what she had to endure or what she went through. But every one of them rotated back on me as to my reaction as to how that's affecting me and to what degree this is influencing me and to what degree this is not part of what my plan was.
Yeah, it's very difficult, and I can relate to that. Obviously, having gone through the same thing myself, we tend to fall into this victim mentality or this self-pity attitude, or you know this. Well, you know, the unexpected always catches us by surprise by its very nature, and it's going to call out of us the need for greater virtue. And that's not easily won if we're not working every day to acquire those virtues, right? Or to cooperate with grace in the small things.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think that it's important that we learn from each other. You know, and that's why we want to hear from the callers today, 833-288-EWTN. Give us a call and let us know what sorts of things maybe you have struggled with that you didn't anticipate because your situation has changed. Everybody's home when everybody's not normally home. Or what kind of great graces have you found in this moment? Things that have popped up that you wouldn't have expected, but have been tremendous blessings for your family. We want to hear about those, too, at 833-288-EWTN.
Yeah, I would phrase it simply this way. You know, what are the potential marriage breakers? To what extent have they, you know, entered into the situations that you're facing together at this moment? And what are the marriage makers? What are the unexpected, beautiful surprises? You know, I like to call them Kairos moments, where Christ intersects with time. We see him clearly. What are those in your life? And where have they been most evident? And how have you embraced them? And that's what we want to talk about here today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Social media, go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page and use the chat feature. Text EWTN to 55000. If you're outside of North America, it is country code 1205-271-2985. We're coming right back. Jack is in the house, my house, our house here in Florida. And we're with you today, hopefully in your house. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity.
Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We're delighted to be with you today right here on Women of Grace Live. It is Monthly Marriage Monday. Jack Williams, my husband, is with me. As we move through our program today, we're talking about crisis, marriage maker, or marriage breaker. And that's the big question that we're asking today. Where have you seen the benefits of the opportunities of grace God's given you to make it a marriage maker, maybe making it something more than it was prior to the crisis? Or what are those areas that you know in your own life, in your own personality, perhaps, or temperament, that could cause exacerbation, really serious issues to pop up at this period of time? We're talking about all of those things as we move forward in our program today. Going to give you those numbers again, toll free for you right here in North America, 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Outside of North America, your number to use is country code 1-205-271-2985. In addition, you can text EWTN to 55000, or you can go out to social media land, and there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, you can use the chat feature to get your question to us. Jack, we do have Mario in San Antonio, Texas today. He is with us via YouTube. Good morning, Mario. How are you?
Hey, Jeanette. Hey, Jack. How are you doing this morning?
Terrific. Thank you.
So what's your question, Mario?
I've called in because even before this coronavirus stuff happened around Thanksgiving, my wife told me she didn't love me anymore, and she wanted a divorce. And we were already living separate due to work. I was in another state, but I was planning to move in January. I did move in January, but now we're in separate places, separate apartments, and she's cut me off, or she's blocked me on her phone, and we haven't really communicated verbally in about a month.
Oh, my. This is a very difficult situation. Let me ask you a personal question here, Mario. Is there another person involved?
I don't think so, and I don't have any reason to not believe her.
So what would you like to see happen in this relationship?
I would like to preserve our marriage. Or at the very, very least, for us to still communicate. We don't have children, but I mean, I do really love her.
Yeah. And how many years were you married?
It would be 8 years this June.
I see. Okay. Well, you know, it's a very hard thing. We're in a very, very particular moment in time, an unusual moment. She's blocked you from communication via the phone and or through messaging. I don't know about blocking numbers. I would suppose that that would block a text message. So you probably cannot reach out to her in that way. Email might be a way, or even regular mail, where you just send her, you know, a very, you know, I think simple note, just saying, have been thinking about you through this time, certainly hoping that all is well with you. I have you included in my prayers or tucked into my prayers. I don't know what more you can do other than that, Mario. You wouldn't want her to take a next step, which could be a really devastating moment that would involve the legal system and or pushing her more toward, you know, a divorce setting. Has she filed paperwork or anything, do you know?
Since we both recently moved to the state, I think this or next month will be the first month she's allowed to.
Okay. All right. Jack, do you have any words for Mario?
Well, it's a difficult situation, to be sure. And, you know, it would be easy, obviously, to become discouraged in this situation. And, you know, the advice, the obvious advice, you know, here is to really dig in prayer to our Lord. And, you know, sometimes that advice does not provide a lot of consolation in the moment. But I would encourage you to meditate on that situation. Was this were you all married in the church, Mario?
Yes, we're both Catholic.
Yeah. And, you know, I would, you know, I don't think that it would be out of bounds, you know, to go before our Lord. You know, if you have an opportunity to, I know in many places, you know, congregations cannot gather, but churches, especially Catholic churches, where the Blessed Sacrament is present, are still open for people to pray, as long as they observe appropriate social distancing measures. And I would go, you know, before our Lord in this present moment, which is where the grace can be found, and, you know, implore Him to impart to her a new reality and a new revelation of exactly what the two of you entered into when you approach that marriage situation. And I would also ask him, Mario, to be quite frank, to reveal to you any impediments that may have been involved prior to this. I'm not suggesting at all that this is not a sacramental marriage, but, you know, it's as my lovely wife is wont to say, you know, knowledge is power. And so ask our Lord to speak these things to your heart, and really take the attitude of Saint Joseph, and use Saint Joseph as your model here, and pray for her as if you would never see her again. And I think you might be surprised how powerful the Lord would be able to work in that situation.
Yeah. I think what you're saying there, Jack, is to pray with detachment, you know, really and sincerely to pray for her, regardless of what it means to you. In other words, pray for her as if she were not your wife, but somebody that you cared about very deeply and wanted the very best for. And there is something about that spirit of detachment, rather than praying, oh, Lord, please, you know, this is what I want. But to say, look, Lord, I cannot control her free will. And frankly, you have given us free will, and you will not control our free will. But I do pray for her. I pray for her well-being.
And that's not going to be easy. You know, there is a reason there was only one Saint Joseph, all right? If it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
That's right. It's true. But God wants to work something in you through this, Mario. And that's a very important thing to bear in mind. I have no idea if she expressed anything beyond, you know, I've fallen out of love with you, or, you know, beyond any of that. But I would also ask the Lord, and this is hard, but I would ask the Lord to give you, I think, and what Jack is saying here, is to give you, you know, a spirit of self-assessment. We talked a little bit about, you know, the fact that there is a benefit in self-knowledge. St. Teresa of Avila says there is no growth in the spiritual life without self-knowledge. It's key. So what does God want to say to Mario, even in the midst of this great pain? What is he saying to you in it? And this can become something that's very profitable for you, regardless of what happens in this situation. But, you know, I think to extend, you know, to send her a card or a little note that says, you know, I'm thinking about you during this time, hoping that you're well, praying for you, and you know, and just sign it Mario. You know, in other words, that's an act of faith, just pulling back instead of love Mario, or I miss you terribly, or, you know, please let's try this again. Just letting her know that you care about her, I think might spark something in her. I don't know. But let's see what the Lord does in the midst of all of this. And we hope that during this time, you know, the Chinese have two characters that represent crisis, the word crisis. One represents danger, the other opportunity. And that's what we're talking about here. This is crisis. Let's not go the way of what is dangerous. Let's go the way of opportunity and see how the Lord opens things up for you, Mario. God bless you, and we hope things work out for you. You know, I think, again, this just highlights, Jack, you know, how important it is in marital relationships to be open and honest with each other at every turn. And that's not to say that we're not going to be tried in marriage, you know. I mean, marriage is a means to purification, and it's a means to get us to heaven. So we're going to run into these moments. The idea is not to bail on these moments, but to dig in. You know, soldiers run into the line of the enemy. They don't retreat from it. You know, they run forward. And that's what we have to keep doing, is to run forward. I think that we've got some callers out there that we want to get to right now. Jeff, who do we have there?
Michael, Kennewick, Washington. Calling to ask a few questions about, I just got married And before we got married, everything was good. And now it's like early in marriage, we're having the struggles. She's not going to mass no more. And she's choosing to listen to music that's not beneficial to the Christian lifestyle, controversial. And I just not sure what to do. I pray for her all the time, but I still get angry when things come about. So just need some advice. Bye.
Well, gee, Michael, this difficult situation, and the period of adjustment early on in marriage can be easy or it can be very difficult. And it sounds as though there are some difficulties that are going on here, clearly. And it sounds as though there's some elements of resistance that are being shown that may have been, you know, hidden or just below the surface during the courting process, but are coming into the forefront right now. Patience is very important. Jack, what would you say?
Well, it's a difficult spot for sure. You know, and we have no way of knowing what the reality of the situation is here. You know, we can really only speculate as to why this has happened. You know, one thing that could be speculated here, you know, when we're physically or in any other way attracted to someone and we enter into a more intimate relationship with that person and we get to know that person and start to get to know that person a little bit better, sometimes our affections and our attractions put us in a position to try to conceal the things that that person that we're so attracted to you know, may not like or may not find to be so virtuous. And, you know, if that's really a part of who we are and a part of the person that we've built up to that point, it's difficult to conceal that over the long haul. And this may be what Michael is running into a little bit. And perhaps once the legal and the canonical forms had run their course and had been locked into place, there's a certain amount of comfort, I think, that comes with letting your guard down maybe, you know, a little bit and moving into these things. And this is really why this doesn't, you know, help Michael a ton in this moment, but it's why having a spiritual director during courtship is such a good idea, because this person can walk alongside you, can receive special graces from our Lord to help you in that journey of self-knowledge and help each of you individually and then collectively be open and honest with each other. And, you know, I think that's really one of the things I appreciate so much about our relationship, Johnette, is that we really placed a ton of importance on openness and honesty, you know, when we entered into this whole thing. But as far as practical advice for Michael in this particular situation, you know, I think it's important that he remember that he is called to be the servant leader of that household by virtue of his gender. That's one of the roles that our Lord has set up in marriage. But he's put in that role to lead. You know, he is not put in that role to drag.
I think that's a very important thing to remember, Michael. And I want to say this, just a couple of thoughts that came to me as you were speaking, Jack. You know, I have to say that we had the benefit because we had been married before and we were in two solid marriages, long-lasting marriages, and would have remained in those marriages had our spouses not passed away. But we brought those years of experience and that understanding of marriage.
And the knowledge of what worked and what didn't work.
Yeah.
And the regrets that we had.
Truly, into our marriage. So I'm going to suggest this, Michael. I would suggest that you meet with a couple who has a very good, long-standing marriage and has a sincere concern for you and your wife. Because I think that there is a value in being mentored through difficult times by individuals who can be nonpartisan in the situation, not taking a side, but being evaluative based on what you're struggling with. And and bringing in and offering you their advice and their wisdom and how possibly they worked through a similar moment in their early years. I would also talk with your priest, you know, and I would be very honest with your wife. I mean, she's listening to this music. You don't like this music. The bigger thing there to me, at least initially, is the fact that you remain united in your faith. So the not going to church thing, I think, is a pretty big issue. I would continue. You should continue to go to Mass. But I would try to drill down and ask her, you know, what's going on here? You know, I think that you have to have these serious discussions, but it's very helpful to have couples that can mentor you and perhaps a priest that can walk alongside you during this time. And that's the advice and counsel that I would give you, in addition to obviously praying. I like the novena to Our Lady Undoer of Knots. It's a very powerful novena. So I would give that a whirl and see what happens. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here. Jack Williams, my dear husband, with us today. It is Monthly Marriage Monday. We're talking about issues with regard to married life, especially in light of this very, very unique moment that we're all walking through with this pandemic of COVID-19. Give us a call. Also available to you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can use the chat feature. We have Barbara with us. She's in Jacksonville, Florida, via YouTube is the way that she's connecting today. Good morning, Barbara. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for asking and having me on the show.
Well, we're delighted to have you.
And Jeanette.
Thank you. Well, good. So what's going on in Barbara's world?
Well, you know, it popped up about marriage. And one thing is that I am a devout Catholic, and I am not a virgin, although now I am because I've been to confession, but I have never been married. I've never been married, and I'm a devout Catholic, and I was just wondering, is it meant to be not married, to be single? I mean, I feel that I'm finally mature in my ways to be married and to find a Catholic, somebody who's devout, and I'm going to be 59, so...
Okay. Well, all right, Barbara. Well, let's do this. Let's have you hold. You hear that music. We're going to go to a break. We're going to come right back to you. We're inviting all of you to call us today, too, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Maybe you have some words of wisdom for Barbara, too. We're going to be right back. Jack and Jeanette Williams with you today on Women of Grace Live. Stay tuned.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Jeanette Williams.
Well, welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Jeanette Williams, joined today by my husband, Jack. And today is Monthly Marriage Monday. We're looking to hear from you. Any questions that you might have about your marital relationship or insights or inspirations that you might want to give to others today, the phone lines are open for you. Toll free for you here in North America, use this number. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also offering you the opportunity to use EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook pages chat feature. You can put your question there and we'll get it up on the board. And you can text EWTN to 55000. Right prior to the break there, Barbara called in from Jacksonville, Florida. She's with us via YouTube. She was expressing the fact that here she is, and I believe she said she was 59 years old and she's never been married. She would like to be married. And she's asking the question, you know, what do you do in that situation? And, are some people meant not to be married? And Barbara, did I kind of summarize that pretty well?
Very well. Excellent.
Okay. Well, good. Well, thank you. Well, you're welcome. And
Except
let's talk about...
I'm 58, but...
Oh, 58. Well, honey, hold on to every year. I'm just saying, because they fly by
months.
Too quickly. I know.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. So, you know, this is a big question here. And I want to say this, you know, there's been a lot of discussion In Catholic circles, I would say for the past 20, 25 years, with regard to the fact that is there a vocation to the single state? And I don't think that there's a right answer or a wrong answer. A yes or a no answer doesn't quite seem to cut it. I think that circumstances enter into lives that sometimes make marriage a vocational opportunity, and sometimes those circumstances and situations don't enter into a life that makes the vocation of marriage a possibility. But I do know this, and I'm certain of this, that God has a plan for each one of us, and He always works in light of what happens in the natural dimension of our lives. So God's desire for us is not going to be thwarted by what happens in a broken and fallen world. He's going to take the substance of that broken and fallen world and all that happens in it, and He's going to use it for our very best advantage. And the ultimate advantage that He wants to use it for is life on high with Christ Jesus. So it's all going to tend to our ultimate salvation, to our ultimate destiny, which is to be with Him in heaven forever. Marriage is one of those paths that can lead us there, but it's not the only path. Certainly we know that some men and some women are called to a vocation that practices the evangelical counsels of chastity, poverty, and obedience through a religious order. And within the dimension of priesthood, that religious person can become, if he's a man, a priest of God, or he can become a priest without entering into a religious order. So that's one way. I do know a number of women who have been single, and looking at that through the lens of faith and praying carefully about it, have decided to take a step towards a quasi-religious state, maybe.
Consecration of sorts.
That's right, a consecration, where they are consecrated virgins to the Lord, but they live outside of a community. They're not religious women in the sense of taking those evangelical counsels, but they live a single life for the glory and honor of the Lord. And for these women, that's not I might as well do this because. It isn't that. They really discern this, and they discern it really ultimately with the bishop, because the bishop will officiate at this consecration. And then there are a number of people who, had circumstances been different in their lives, would have ended up married. It's not to say that they're deprived, however, of entering into an ever-deepening relationship with our Lord or making a path to heaven in the circumstance that they're in. And so here's my advice to you, and I'll turn it over to Jack. But here's my advice to you. This is what you have. You have the grace of this present moment to live this present moment according to the mind and heart of God to the fullest extent of your capacity given this moment. And I would say to the Lord, you know this desire in my heart. If it be according to your holy will, bring a good, solid man into my life. And you might even begin to consider what kind of attributes you would want him to display. That's what I did when suddenly, maybe brewing over a couple of years, I began to realize that I would probably want to be married again. And I just put out a little fleece to the Lord and said, look, I'm happy to remain a widow. I'm happy to get married again. But if this desire is coming from you, then this is how I'll know. And I listed characteristics. I'd like this man to have been a widow. I'd like this man to be a practicing Catholic who can meet me spiritually and intellectually. And I listed these things out for the Lord, and Jack popped up in my life, and he fulfilled every one of those, and it was quite surprising for both of us to find ourselves in this position. So I think the Lord likes it when we're pretty specific with Him. So I would do that, but I would make use of where you are right now, and not let a day, nor a minute, nor a second, be a fallow time, but rather be one that is prone to fertility and the production of great fruit in your life.
And I would listen to that little voice inside of your heart, because I know as I look back on things now, as resolved as I was to being unattached for the rest of my life, there was always, if I were to be honest with myself, there was always an uneasiness about that kind of went along with that. But I would take heart in a couple of things. One, someone once said, and I can't remember who it was, and probably many people have said this, but there really is no shortage of vocations. within Holy Mother Church to the priesthood. What we have is a shortage of people who are listening to the call of God in their life. And I say that to remind not just Barbara, but all of us, that our Lord has a perfect plan, right? Now, our human nature gets in the way of that plan sometimes, but he has a perfect plan. He knows who should do what, right? And we should take heart in the fact that he does know that, and that if we ask him, he will tell us. And I would really, you know, approach our Lord in that manner, saying, you know, Father God, I know that you have a plan for me. I know that you have a place to place me in the grander plan that you have for all of mankind. And, you know, I, as your daughter who desires to be obedient, you know, would like for you to speak, you know, into the innermost recesses of my heart, what that is. And he'll plant that, he will plant that desire in your heart. He'll give you the peace about which path he would have you go. You know, I remember one of the first people that I gave any inkling to that something was going on with John Ed and I, as our courtship had begun. We really hadn't shared that with you know, hardly anyone. And Dan Burke, formerly president of EWTN News, founder of the Avila Institute, devoting all of his time to that now, has beaten the coronavirus against all odds, got off of a ventilator, thanks be to God. But I shared the information with him at one point, and his response to me was, you know, if God is calling you to the married life, then being single is going to be really hard. And, you know, that stuck with me after he said that.
Yeah, and I would say this, that really hard part, Jack, you know, had things, you know, gone differently with us, maybe there would have been someone else who would have come into your life. But yeah, that really hard part, when it doesn't work out the way that we would like it, and when that desire is still there, that's a sacrificial offering to the Lord that can lead to great sanctity. It really can. So I would not despair, Barbara. I think the path is open to you. I guess the question is, you know, how do you want to walk that path? And I'm going to say this to you too, and then we're going to move on here. But, you know, there have been a lot of people that we know, that Jack and I know personally, who have met on Catholic sites, you know, single sites. So I wouldn't dismiss that as a potential opportunity for you. For some people, that wouldn't be something that they would want to do. For others, you know, it becomes a viable way to meet somebody who is just perfectly right for them. So I'll tell you what I will do, though. I'm going to put you into my rosary today, Barbara. So you're going to be in there, and I'll be lifting you up. Okay. I think I'll put you into the fourth mystery, you know, the presentation of Jesus in the temple by Mary and Joseph. I'm going to just present Barbara to the Lord. So there you have it. God bless you, sweetheart. And thank you for your call. It's a question that lots of people have. All right. We're going to go to Genevieve. She is in Houston, Texas. We want to give you the number to use as well. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Toll free for you right here in North America. Genevieve is listening to us via Guadalupe Radio. Good morning, Genevieve. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. And you?
Very well. Thank you for asking, and thank you for calling.
Yes, indeed. I have a question, and then I'll hang up and listen to the answer.
Okay.
The question is, what exactly are we, a man and a woman, bowing to when we take the wedding vows in a sacramental Catholic wedding?
Hmm. Well, that's a great question to ask. And we have to understand too that this is not a light moment. This is a moment that is replete with a great deal of thought. It's a moment that is replete with sacramental graces to make it through the trials that may come to us in married life. The grace is there to make good on those vows. So, Jack, what are we vowing to when we get married?
Well, I think we're vowing to everything that God initially created us to be. If you look back at Adam and Eve, you know, they really are a reflection of the triune God. You know, the love between the Father and the Son, so intense that it gives forth, new life in the Holy Spirit, and that is modeled in the natural by the husband and the wife, a love that's so intense and so pure that it brings forth another life, right? And that's really, I think, what we're being called to do is to model the reality of God to all of those around us. And it's much the same sort of thing that anyone who's called to any state in life is called to model where they are planted, right, for lack of a better term. And, in so doing, we are just naturally going to provide graces to the other that we wouldn't otherwise have that will help to get us to heaven. And, that was really what was stressed to us more than anything as Father Wade Menezes walked alongside us during our marriage preparation is that, this is oriented towards getting each other to heaven. And that's the end game for all of this is that God is so deeply and madly in love with us that he wants to provide the mechanisms that most likely create a situation where we will spend all of eternity with him in true love. And that's why we have free will. And that's why all of this is set up the way it is set up so that nothing is forced, nothing is prepackaged, nothing is beyond our free will. And really, we don't even understand in this life the degree to which everything is oriented towards perfection when we get to heaven. And this is what we're not only vowing to ourselves, but it's what our Lord provides to us, whether we understand it or not.
And Genevieve, let me just refer you to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And if you don't have a catechism at home there, you can go online and you can find this. And you can just put in Catholic Catechism and put these paragraph numbers in and they'll pop up for you. It's numbers 1625 through 1631. It talks about marriage and it talks about the vows. But remember, and you'll recall this from your own wedding ceremony, that the priest will ask you three questions. And these are determinant questions. And these are very specific, and they're there for a reason. And he'll say, Genevieve, and whoever your husband's name would be, have you come here to enter into marriage without coercion, freely and wholeheartedly? And if you say no, well, then that's the end of the deal right there. If you say yes, of course, then he's going to proceed to the next one. Are you prepared as you follow the path of marriage to love and honor each other for as long as you both shall live? And this is the indissoluble bond of marriage being expressed here, that marriage is not meant to lead to divorce, that what God has joined together, man must not put asunder, commonly disregarded today because of the culture that we live in. And of course, the answer to that is yes. So you're promising to love, which is a decision, not an emotion. It's hard to love sometimes, but it's a decision. We choose to love. It's not a passion. We might not feel it. We might be boiling mad, but what we're going to follow the way of love and to honor. That means to respect. And respect, you can go all through the categories of that, which would include faithfulness, would include a right intention towards each other, etc. And then this third one, are you prepared to accept children lovingly from God and to bring them up according to the law of Christ and his church? And so, obviously, he wants to hear a yes on all of this. I have or I am. Now, here are the vows. He will continue and say, since it is your intention to enter into the covenant of holy matrimony, join your right hands and declare your consent before God and his church. And then he'll have the groom and the bride say these things. I so-and-so take you so-and-so to be my husband or my wife, depending upon who's saying these vows. I promise to be true to you in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health. I will love you and honor you all the days of my life. And so there you have it. And the bride says the same. And I promise to be faithful to you in good times and in bad is another way that this true can be faithful. Same words, same meaning, but you can use either word. So there you go. Go ahead.
So basically the vows that we are taking mean that we will not commit adultery, we will not mistreat the person by not having a home and providing things for the spouse.
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Now,
that's
let me just say that
the vows represent.
Well, no, it represents a whole lot more than that. But that some of what is being stated here is that, you know, there's going to be this mutual concern for the other and the honoring and the respecting of the person. Obviously, you're going to take care of their daily needs, but that goes both ways, right? And as far as adultery goes, you know, and this is very important to know, people are frail and people are weak. So when the church looks at the nullification or the process of a decree of nullity for a couple, adultery is never an issue. Adultery does not invalidate what was spoken at the time of the marriage, which is what a decree of nullity says, that there was not a sacramental marriage due to an impediment that preexisted, hence those three questions that the priest asks prior to. But human nature can be very weak and frail, and adultery can happen. A habit of adultery leads to different questions that could indicate an impediment existed at the beginning, an inability to be faithful or to commit. But while that is a terrible, terrible situation to occur in a marriage, that can be healed. And that's one of the worst parts, you know, for better or for worse. That's a worse part. But the marriage bond and the graces of marriage can get a couple through that if they are both willing to work at it. So I have to say that about adultery. And I know couples whose marriages were strained because of that, but have become much better in the aftermath of it, because they worked so hard together to repair the breach that was created. It doesn't excuse it, but it does say that the grace of marriage can overcome it.
Well, and I think it should be stated here that really, if you look at strictly the natural aspects of those promises made in those vows, that's really a stepping off point. You know, and if someone is entering into the covenant thinking that their only responsibility is to fulfill the natural meaning of those vows, you know, that's probably not the best place to start.
Right. Does that help you, Genevieve?
So in other words, the spiritual is just as important, a spiritual need of each spouse.
Well, the spiritual. And what do we mean by that? You know, spiritual tends to the soul and to the spirit of the person. That encompasses the emotional well-being, the psychological well-being, the protection of the integrity of the other person, that comes by way of that element of respect, the incorporation of that other person's dignity. You know, all of that is incorporated into those words, and both parties should be looking out for the best thing for the other party. If both parties work towards unselfish motivations, work towards the benefit of the other, it's going to be a beautiful marriage indeed. So I hope that helps you. If there's a difficulty that's going on with regard to this, it's good to seek out the help and a provision that a priest can provide.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time. God bless.
God bless you, Jenny.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the phone call.
Yeah, and get out there to those paragraphs and see what they speak to you and take it into your time of prayer, sweetheart. God bless you now. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Let's go to Betty. She's in St. Louis, Missouri. We're going to try to get her as quickly as we can. She is with us via Alexa today. Good morning, Betty. How are you?
Good morning, Jeanette. And I had to laugh out loud when I heard you told God what you wanted, because I did the same thing.
Did you?
Wow, didn't you? Yes, I did. And your screener asked me if I'd be willing to share some of the things I said. And I said, number one, practicing Catholic. Number two, near my own age, financially responsible and have his own money, intelligent, respectful of others, demonstratively loving, have a sense of humor. And I'd really like him to be a little taller than me. And so I told God, you got to put him right in front of me, because I'm not going in bars looking, because I'm 55 years old at the time. And sure enough, a month later, I was heading up this commission for my parish, and our pastor put this fellow on my commission who was fit every one of those characteristics and then some. So we were married. We had a beautiful, beautiful marriage. We were married 5.5 years, and then God took him. But I figure, hey, I appreciate all the time God gave me with this wonderful, wonderful man. And he did deliver just what I asked for.
Oh, Betty, that is such a beautiful way. I'm so glad that you are our last caller that we can take today, because you ended it on such a lovely note. And I'm sure that, Barbara, I hope you're still listening. I'm sure that you're edified by Betty's story there. So maybe the Lord is speaking a word to you, honey. Be very specific. And there you go. Let's see what happens and let us know, Barbara. And Betty, thank you so much for your openness. I sure do appreciate it. God bless you. Bye-bye now. Jack?
I don't know what else to say. Good job out of you, Betty.
And so, friends, thank you for joining us for another Monthly Marriage Monday. Jack will be back in the house the first Monday of May. And until you and I are together again tomorrow, I ask that the Lord bless you and keep you well. Bye-bye now.